The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rather dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Welcome to another program of The Message of Grace. I'm Pastor Tom Bruchet of Grace Bible Church in Warren, Michigan, and it sure is good to be with you and in your home and to be able to have an opportunity to talk to you about some things from God's Word. You know, there used to be a statement when you invited people to church that was often given an excuse, actually, not to attend. And that is, someone would say, I don't go to church. There's too many hypocrites in the church. And that would be a nice, easy way for them to get out of having to go to church, as if to think that there's not hypocrites outside the church. I never heard anyone say that, no, I'm not going to go to the football game this week. There's too many hypocrites in the stadium. I never heard anyone say, I'm not going to work today. There's too many hypocrites there. But when it comes to church, they say, I'm not going to go to church. There's too many hypocrites there. Well, I'm going to talk to you about hypocrites in the church, and perhaps I'm not really referring to the church of the body of Christ or the church of God's people. I'm really talking about church in general, churches as you see on the corners of different streets and churches as a religion. There are indeed hypocrites in the church. And we'll talk about that, but I don't want you to think that just because you might not go to church that you're something better than they are. No, we're all hypocrites in different areas of our life. None of us are always truthful. In fact, what a hypocrite is, someone who stands behind a mask. That's the original word. It has to do with those who would wear a mask at a stage play. And they would wear a mask, and it wasn't a slang term then. It was just they were called a hypocrite, someone who wears a mask. And so therefore, when we talk about a hypocrite, that's anybody who would stand behind the mask or stand behind even indifference when it comes to their sinful condition before God. Now, we talk about hypocrites, we're talking about hypocrites before the Lord. When people are invited to church or to attend a Bible study, it has to do with their relationship with God, and so they say, I'm not a hypocrite. Well, people stand behind masks all the time, and I would wonder to you and would ask you, where do you hide? Do you hide behind religion or within religion? There's several people who do, and we're going to talk about those and the problems that is exposed by Jesus Christ in Matthew 23 as a result of that. But do you hide behind ignorance? Perhaps you just feel that ignorance is bliss and you don't have to look into anything, and therefore if you're ignorant of the law and ignorant of God's statements, then you won't be held accountable. That's not true. The Bible's full of statements about not being ignorant, and God has given us a word so that we wouldn't be ignorant. And if you can read, you have a Bible, you know God's word. You can read what He has to say. So hiding behind ignorance doesn't make you a non-hypocrite. So that won't work. You close your eyes in unbelief and just think that if you can just think real hard and believe real hard that God doesn't exist, that somehow He pops out of the universe and doesn't exist. No, your belief doesn't change any fact at all. There's the truth of God, and you need to come to know that. Otherwise, you're hiding behind unbelief. Do you stand behind the lie of self-righteousness, saying, well, if there is a God, and I've done pretty good in my life, and I'm not so bad of a person, therefore I think that if there is a God, and if I have to give an account before Him, I'll do all right. If you read this Bible, you'd find out He's a holy God. The book that He's given us is called the Holy Bible. And the reason it's called that is there's no sin before God. There's no error. There's no room for any wrong at all before God. And any sin is an offense before God. We often talk about Adam and Eve being thrown out of the garden, and all they did was disobey concerning the eating of a certain fruit in the garden. So therefore, when you talk about hypocrites there, you can't stand behind the lie of self-righteousness. You have to come to know the truth about God and then face the issue. And that's what we're talking about being non-hypocritical, is face the issue concerning your sins and deal with it the way God would say to deal with it. But let me first acknowledge to you that there are indeed hypocrites in religion. And when you come to Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus Christ, 7 times in this chapter, dealt with a group of religious men and called them to their face hypocrites. Not calling them a name, this was a fact. And it was just a statement that he was making that was real clear, and he was exposing their hypocrisy. He was tearing the mask off of their hypocrisy of religion and showing them just exactly who they were so that they would see that they needed a Savior and deal with their sins the right way rather than the self-righteous way. So as we come to Matthew 23, it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to the disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." That is, they had a place of authority in Israel. "All therefore, whatsoever they say, they bid you observe, that observe, and do. But do not after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So in their authority, they give all these religious things for people to do, all these rules for them to obey, and yet these people themselves don't try to do them themselves. They couldn't do them because they're too heavy to bear, according to this verse. "But all their works they do for to be seen of men, that they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues." And so here the Lord begins to expose that all that they ever do is really just to be seen of men. It's a big front. It's something that they put out for people to see and air themselves as being something when the Bible says they're really nothing. And when it says the way they make themselves appear this way before men, it says they make large broad their phylacteries. Now, phylacteries in your Bible, you find out what they did in Bible days, is these Pharisees, who were very religious men, you'll see that they wear the robes and they carry around these Bibles, but the Bibles that they carried around were not like a Bible that we carry in a book form. What they did is they took Bible verses, and in these Bible verses, they would put them in a box, and then they would take the box and they'd put it and strap it to their head. Or they would put the box on their left hand and strap it to their left hand. And inside these boxes were Bible verses, things that God had said in the Old Testament concerning Israel that they were to remember. In fact, it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll read you that, where the nation of Israel is given some straightforward instructions by Moses after Moses had given them the law. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now notice the Lord begins to talk about He's God, and it's our purpose and His desire for us, His command to us, is to love Him, to acknowledge Him, to choose Him. But it has to do with the heart. It says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." The Lord wanted the words that He gave them in their heart. He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." These people were to take God's word and put it not just in their mind, but put it down in their heart, and then they were to teach it to their children. Let me just ask you, are you teaching your children God's word? I deal with adults, and God always speaks to adults, but it's the adults' responsibility to pass the word of God down to the next generation, to the children. And if you're not teaching your children, then who is? The television? They get in at school, they're not going to learn anything about God at school unless they go to a Christian school somewhere. So here it is, your instructions to pass it down to your children, but you have to have it in you first. You have to have it in your heart. So he goes on to say, and by the way, when it says, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, those are the times that you teach. In the everyday affairs of life, as different situations come up, you tell your children what God thinks about these situations, what His mind is about these things. And I am glad to say that that is how I've been taught the Word of God. As my father and my mother learned the Word of God before I was born, and then as I was raising up and they were studying their Bible, they shared with me as I went different places the things that the Lord would have me to know. But the verse goes on to say, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt and they shall be frontlets before thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of the doorhouse and on the gates." And so it says that they should take these verses, these words of God, the laws of God, and bind them on your hand for a sign, and then on the frontlets, right before your forehead, between your eyes. There you're supposed to put these verses. Now, what those signs represented, though God already said what they were supposed to do with it, they were supposed to put it in their heart. You take it, you put it in your mind, and then you put it in your heart. Well, what the Pharisees of Christ's day were doing is they were taking those words and they were putting them in that box and they were putting it on their forehead as if that was in their mind. But they never had it in their mind. They just had it in a box on their forehead. Then they put it in a box and put it on their left hand. Why? Well, your left hand is closest to your heart. And so they had it close to their heart. But the problem is they never had it in their heart. They just had it on a box on their left hand. And they were hypocrites because what they did is they gave the sign without having the reality, without having it in their mind and in their heart to guide them in the way of the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus Christ calls them hypocrites. And this is only the beginning, and we haven't even hit the seven hypocritical statements that the Lord indicts them of in Matthew 23, but this explains what hypocrisy is. It's just a front before men, something outwardly seen but not inwardly in the person. And so the Lord says that the Pharisees are hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 6, it says, "They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and the gatherings in the marketplace and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi." These guys, when they walked into the marketplace, not only did they put up this front. Oh, by the way, one of the other things as they did is they wore robes and enlarged the borders of their garments. Those robes had blue trim along the bottom, and that blue was something that was supposed to guide their feet. Blue is a symbol of a color of heaven, and it's supposed to be God's word from heaven that's supposed to guide their feet as they walked. Well, these people didn't allow God's word to guide their feet, but what they did is they enlarged the border. That is, instead of taking an average size border, a hem of a garment, they enlarged it so they would look like they're more heavenly than everybody else. But not only did they have that pretense in their look and their dress, when they walked in the marketplace, the Bible says they loved men to call them rabbi. Now that word rabbi has to do with teacher. But notice how it says it here. Verse 8 says, "But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren." He says, don't call someone rabbi, and then he starts using the term master there, because what a rabbi was, he was like the master teacher. He was the authority. And that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted people to look at them and think that they were the only one that knew God's word, and they were the authority, and if you wanted to know something, you had to ask them. But this Bible verse says real clearly that you're not to call them master, because there's one who's the master, that's Christ, and you are all brethren. No man wearing a robe is anything over anybody else, according to these Bible verses. So they love to be called master, and then it brings up the issue about Christ, for there's only one master, and that's Christ. Verse 10 says, "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." And so Christ is the one who's the master. So these men would love to be called rabbi. They want to take the place and be the master. They want to be the one who's looked on as the Christ, a man usurping the authority of Christ. And the other thing it says, "And call no man your father upon the earth." Now this is not talking about relationship of husband and wife and father and mother toward children. And you know that because the Bible talks about fathers of children and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and children, how they're supposed to reverence their parents and so forth. But this is calling a man who's dressed in a religious garb, calling him father. The Bible says, in a religious sense, don't call any man on earth your father. Why? For one is your father, which is in heaven. And so what these men were really doing by wanting these titles, and they just love titles, call me rabbi, call me master, call me father. And what they were doing is they were usurping the place of God. For you see, our teacher is God the Holy Spirit. And what he has done is he has given us the Word of God. This Bible is spiritually inspired. It came from God's mouth, and the Holy Spirit put it in the mind and the heart and the pen of the writers who wrote God's Word, and the Holy Spirit gave us these words. He is our teacher. He is the authority. The Bible is the authority for every one of us. And so no man is supposed to be called rabbi. Well, don't call anyone master, because the Bible says there's one Lord, and that Lord is Jesus Christ. No one is to usurp the position of Jesus Christ. There's no vicar of Christ here on earth today. That anyone who does that is trying to usurp Christ's authority, and the Bible says there's that even Christ is your master, and no one else is supposed to take that place. But not only did he try to take the place of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, man dares to go all the way to the top and try to take the position of God himself, God the Father. And that's why these verses say, call no man on earth your father, for one is your father, which is in your Father which is in heaven. And so only God is the Father of all who believe. Only God is the Father of any person in a religious sense. We're children of God, not children of any man, and so call no religious man Father. But there are hypocrites in the church, and they take these titles, and they wear these garbs in order to have a pretense before men. And so Jesus Christ begins to say to them in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And there he goes. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither ye suffer them who are entering to go in. That is, religious men here are said to be people who are hindering another person's salvation. They don't want to go in the way of Christ, the way the Bible says. They have other means that they want people to be saved, which is no other way, because Jesus Christ is the only other way. And their goal is to, and what they do is decide not to go the right way themselves, but they are hindering people from being saved. The biggest hindrance for people to be saved today is in the church. It's false teachers that are behind pulpits and false ministers that are walking about, not teaching what the Bible said about salvation. And so the Lord calls them hypocrites. He's the Savior, and they're hindering people from coming to Him. It says in verse 14, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. The Lord says in their hypocrisy, they're not only not going to go into the kingdom of God, they're not going to have eternal life. Not only that, but it says they're going to receive the greater damnation, because what they do is they rob widows. They go into a widow, some lady who is just widowed, and they say they're going to have a prayer for her dead husband, and they make a long prayer, and they expect some money from it because now the inheritance has been given to her. And so they make long prayers for a pretense, as if they had some power to help some dead person. You know, there is no place of dealing with sin after this life. Jesus Christ dealt with our sins at the cross, and the Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Nothing in between. But these people come along saying they got some power with God, and through a long prayer they could somehow get this person out of a place that perhaps called purgatory, a place that's not even described in the Bible, a place that's not even in the Scriptures, and say that they can get people out, and all, but it does cost some money, and so they accept the donation. The Bible says, ye hypocrites. They're taking advantage of widows and even orphans. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. He just got done saying, not only are they not going to enter into the kingdom of God, that they're damned, but everybody that they go out and convert, and they'll cover land and sea to make a convert. And when they do, the people that they convert are twice dead, it says. I think that's described to us in the verses that follow, because it talks about them going in and saying that the gift is everything, that the altar in the temple is nothing, and that the gift is everything, and that when you go into the temple, the gold, if you swear by the gold, then you got to keep what you said, because the gold is everything, and they disallow the temple. And when you think about what they're talking about the gift being more important than the altar. The altar is the place where sins were atoned for before God. It was a place that a sacrifice was made. It speaks about Jesus Christ's death on the cross as the payment for sin. But these men did not emphasize the altar. They emphasized the gift. And that is the person coming and the great gift that they're able to give. The works of men. Then they talked about gold rather than the temple. The temple represented the presence of God. And as if you could go into God's presence, and gold is more important to God, as if you could buy your way into the presence of God, and God is interested in money, and God's not interested in that. The only acceptable sacrifice before God is a blood sacrifice. And the only sacrifice that's acceptable to God for the payment of your sins is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. Your works are not valuable. Your payments are not valuable for God. It's His Son that's valuable before Him, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment of sin. But he goes on. Verse 23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and of anise and cumin, and omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone." These Pharisees tried to say that they kept the law so perfectly that not only did they take the corn harvest and the wheat harvest and all the different harvests and make sure they always gave God 10%, but they took mint, and what these are spices. And out of the little granules of spices, they were very careful to dissect them and divide it to make sure 10% weight went to the Lord, so that they could say, "We kept the law right down to the finest grain of spices before God." And Jesus Christ says, "But you forgot the weightier matters of the law." How about things like judgment and mercy and faith? You know what the law was supposed to teach these Pharisees? Not that they can keep the law perfectly. It's that they failed to keep the law perfectly. They were to realize that God gave such fine laws and His holiness is too high for man to obtain. They were to realize that when God gave the law, that the law condemns man as a sinner. And then they were to realize that, yes, even though God gave us these laws and we're not able to keep them, in God's laws there's always signs of mercy. There was a sacrifice to offer. And that sacrifice pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme sacrifice for sin. So they were to learn about the judgment of God, but also the mercy of God. Go to Him as a sinner, not go to Him in your self-righteousness. And then put your faith in Him. And then that's the means of God's salvation. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." They failed to learn what the law actually said by in their own means, trying to be perfect and keep the law. He goes on the next verse and say, "Ye blind guides, ye strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Leviticus, I think it's chapter 11 or chapter 4, gives the nation of Israel their dietary laws. The first one that they're not allowed to eat that's unclean is a camel. Big, huge animal. But what these Pharisees did, they strained at a gnat. A gnat would be an insect that would be an unclean animal to eat, and they were allowed to eat certain insects, and the gnat would be something unclean. So to make sure they would eat one, they would pour their juice through a strainer and try to make sure there's no gnats in it, and then they drink it down because, after all, the Pharisees are perfect. They never do anything wrong. So they make sure they don't swallow a gnat. But Jesus Christ says, "You guys, your ideas, your focus is in the wrong place. You're leaving out judgment, mercy, and faith in God, and as a result, you're straining at a gnat, you're swallowing a camel. You're unclean." He goes on to express that in other ways. It says in verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres." I skipped one here. Verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of excess and extortion." And that excess and extortion is the things that are left inside the cup. When you wash dishes, if you don't clean the inside of the cup, you just wipe the outside and stick it back in the cupboard. It's full of coffee stains. It's full of food stains. It's full of crumbs on the inside. There's excess and extortion, that is, spoilings and scrap left inside the cup. And that's the problem. The Pharisees were only worried about the outside. The Bible says God looketh on the heart, and there's got to be cleanliness in the heart. But the biggest problem of it all, it says in verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but within they are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness." He says, "You Pharisees, you're like a whited sepulchre. You're like a tombstone painted white. You're like a morgue, a tomb that's painted white, but what's inside that tomb? Nothing but rotting flesh, dead man's bones inside of there." And that's the problem. See, if it's God who looks on the inward, our heart is unclean. We're sinners by nature. And we need a salvation, and that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God does when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior is He gives us new life. Paul, writing to the believers in Ephesus, says that when you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is, when you trust the fact that you're a sinner, but Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, and you put your faith in Christ, God puts His Holy Spirit in you and He puts in you life. It says about the believer in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath He quickened," that means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Perhaps you've heard the term born again. But what we're talking about there is regeneration, of God taking His life and putting it inside the believer, because that's where life begins. It's not worrying about the outside. It's not worrying about how you appear before men. It's how do you appear before God. And what's the problem on the inside? Clean the inside, and then the outside will be clean. And that's what God has done. He's reached down to our very core of our problem, our sinful heart, our sinful condition, and our inability to save ourselves. And He gave us Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, and He died on the cross to be the full, complete payment of sin. And for those who will trust Him, God gives the gift of eternal life. And that's when life begins. It begins on the inside through faith in Jesus Christ. Then God begins to work on the inside to will and to do of His good pleasure. And you know what that is? That's no longer hypocrisy. That's now God doing a work in your life, not you appearing something before God, but God doing something in you. So what is a hypocrite? Someone who's standing behind a religious mask. And what is someone who's not a hypocrite? Someone who's not a hypocrite is someone who acknowledges that they're a sinner and can't save themselves. A person who's not a hypocrite is someone who stops trying to save themselves and turns to God in His mercy and asks Him to be the Savior that the Bible says He is, willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for him, and that the reason he saved is not because he's someone, it's because Jesus Christ did it all and paid for it all, and that God the Father will accept us because we've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a hypocrite who believes in the grace of God for salvation. Won't you quit being a hypocrite and be saved today?
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we'd love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.